Stay tuned for more jazz with your host, Randy McCalligan, coming up next. Well, good afternoon and welcome to a special edition of In Transition. My name is Randy McElligott. Over the years, I have received many requests to feature this band. And this afternoon, we're going to devote a full 2 hours to the music of one of the most loved quartets in all of jazz, the Modern Jazz Quartet. from 1971, recorded live in Spain. That was the Modern Jazz Quartet with a composition from John Lewis entitled A Cold Wind is Blowing. And we just heard Milt Jackson on vibes, John Lewis on piano, Percy Heath on bass, and Connie Kay on drums. And now we're going to listen to a recording that was made at Avery Fisher Hall in New York City in 1974. And it was supposed to be the last concert of the Modern Jazz Quartet. The group decided to disband and go their own way. They had various projects on the go, and this was to be their swan song. Well, from this concert came a lot of great playing, and we're going to listen to some of it this afternoon, as well as an exciting new 4-CD box set that is just about to be released by the good folks at Fantasy Records out of California. We're going to listen to Summertime from 1974, and then we're going to go back to 1952. Now, this was when Kenny Clarke was sitting behind the drums, and this, to me, is one of the most inspiring compositions, or moments, rather, that I've heard of the Modern Jazz Quartet. It's a song entitled La Ronde, and it was released on the Prestige label. And then we're going to hear from John Lewis and Milt Jackson from a BBC interview conducted a few years ago. Rather than me go through the history of the band, I thought I would let John and Milt give you a brief description of how the band came together.
Thank you. you were in Dizzy's big band.
Right.
Or a couple of them, in fact, weren't you?
Right. Yeah, to a couple of different occasions. In the band, we had two chief arrangers, Tad Dameron and Gil Fuller. All right, the music Gil Fuller wrote was sort of difficult, especially for the brass section. So one night, Dizzy suggested, "Say, man, why don't you and John and Ray and Kloop play a little bit, man? Get guys a rest." Which we did, and it immediately became a spontaneous reaction. From that night on, it became a regular part of the band.
Dizzy, he was always in some kind of arrangement with somebody to do some business thing. So one of these was to start this record company called DG. He started with a fellow from Detroit. So one of the first things he asked was for Milt and I and Ray Brown to make 278s for them, for their little label, which we did with Kay Clark too. So that was the beginning of this idea of the quartet for sure.
And we enjoyed it so much that we decided on that same type group, if possible with the same personnel, once we left Dizzy. You know, all right, when we decided to form the group, actually, two things. First, we couldn't get Ray. Ray was working with Ella in the trio, and we couldn't afford to hire him because he'd make it too much money. So then we got Percy as a replacement for Ray and formed the quartet, you know. Then, as you know, Kenny stayed with us for a year and a half, and he decided he wanted to move to Europe. And then we got Connie Gay. And that's really the history of the Modern Jazz Quartet.
On the album notes, it's known as Milano, but that sure sounds like God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, even though it's not Christmas yet and we have, what, another 3 months to go before the big day. This afternoon, featuring music from the Modern Jazz Quartet, and we also heard there from John Lewis and Milt Jackson, part of an interview that was done with the BBC a few years ago, and Milt was describing how the band eventually gelled and came together with Ray Brown and Klook, Kenny Clark, leaving. And the band would solidify with the four members that went on for actually 48 years they were together. And they were almost as together as long as Duke Ellington's band, which was together for 50 years. And the Modern Jazz Quartet was very loved around the world for their unique blend of classical influences and classical elements from many centuries ago, incorporating them into jazz and blues styles and coming up with, I think, a winning combination of musical ideas. And one of the things that really intrigued me about this band, I've seen them before perform live, they didn't have any music whatsoever on stage, and they knew exactly what to do and when to do it. It was a testament to their prowess as jazz musicians. The other band that I could think of that was in that same vein was Dave Brubeck's quartet and, of course, John Coltrane's famous quartet. But if there was one word that I would choose to describe the Modern Jazz Quartet, I think it would be balance. And another group that reminds me of the Modern Jazz Quartet when it comes to balance was Bill Evans' trio with Scott LaFaro and Paul Motion. And they were a great little trio, setting the stage for many other bands to come after them. And I think the Modern Jazz Quartet did the same thing. And to this day, there are still many, many musicians that have felt the influence of the Modern Jazz Quartet. We're going to go back now to some more music from this great band, going back to one of their early numbers. This one is entitled Concord. Thank you.
one of the latest albums that we did, one of the Baroque pieces we'd like to play for you at this time, called Tears from the Children.
That was a beautiful composition from the Modern Jazz Quartet, Tears from the Children. And just before that, we heard Concord. That was one of their early recordings from the 1950s. probably the most requested song in the modern jazz quartet repertoire, aside from Bag's Groove, had to be Django. Now I'm going to play for you four different versions of this great composition dedicated to the brilliant guitarist Django Reinhardt. The first one is from 1954. Now this one features Klook on drums, Kenny Clarke, and the rest of the band. Then we jump 20 years to 1974 to their farewell concert at Avery Fisher Hall in New York City, and then to 1981 in Japan at the Budokan. 1981 was their reunion tour, and it was kind of interesting because the band, I guess, felt lonely apart and they needed to get back together. At least that's what Milt and John Lewis went on to say over a number of interviews. In 1981, when they did get together and they did play in Japan, the chemistry was still there, and you'll hear it on this version of Django from this particular year. Now, the following year, in 82, they went to Switzerland and played at the Montreux Jazz Festival, and that's going to be the final version that we're going to listen to of this classic. So let's go back to 1954 and John Lewis's Django. Thank you.
modern jazz quartet with Milt Jackson, vibraphone, Connie Kay, drums, Perseus on bass, and John Lewis on piano. The modern jazz quartet.
Thank you.
From 1982, recorded live in Montreux, Switzerland. That was the Modern Jazz Quartet with Django. And just before that, live at the Budokan in Japan, we heard another version from 1981. And then from 1974, at the last concert, another version of Django. And then we went all the way back to 1954 and the original Django, taken from their excellent album, simply entitled Django, and I highly, highly recommend that album. Actually, you don't really have to pick it up, because you can pick up the box set, the complete Modern Jazz Quartet Prestige and Pablo recordings, which should be in the stores shortly, 4-CD box set, and I believe Django is part of that collection. My name is Randy McElligott, and you're listening to In Transition on CHUO-FM 89.1, coming to you live from the Media Skywalk at the University of Ottawa. And we're serving the Ottawa Hall area and surroundings with a very special edition today, as we feature the music of the Modern Jazz Quartet. Let's go back to 1971 and listen to some more music from that concert. This time around, we'll listen to a composition written by John Lewis and Milt Jackson entitled The Walking Stomp. Thank you.
When did you decide that each of you would have the functions that they did? I mean, when did you become
That's
MD?
Interesting question. Because what happened, we played an engagement at a club called the Downbeat, which was on 54th Street, I think, between Broadway and 8th Avenue. We finished the engagement, went downstairs, and sent Milt up to collect the money. He came back down. Didn't get the money. Percy said, what? Percy went upstairs and got the money. That settled who was going to take care of all the money. So that took care of that. Then the music thing just naturally fell to me, because first it had to start with me writing out the bass parts and writing out things for us to do. Also, I had the benefit, I guess, of all that good technical training that I had at school. So that job naturally fell my way. Later, when Kenny left, the job of somebody taking care of the accommodations that we'd have and also taking care of the transportation fell to Connie Kay, because every time we went to a hotel and checked in, Connie never stayed in the first room that we had. He didn't like the room, so it changed. So you go check on all the rooms for all of us. So that became his job. Or, say, getting on planes or so forth. He always got on the plane first. He'd do something. He'd say, well, my foot is bothering me, and so forth. Handicapped people, babies, and so forth. He always got us on the plane first. So that just, those things just naturally happened that way.
Did you have a conception of how you wanted the group to sound at the beginning, or did that just evolve?
That evolved also for practical reasons. We played in places, in clubs, the best clubs that there were. We played at wonderful club. They paid very well, great clientele. But it was a supper club. It was where people ate. We couldn't compete with those dishes and so on. So we got through the engagement, but we had said, well, we're going to have to find something better than this. We also tried to play for dances too. We had.
Did you?
Yes, we had full house. We played. There used to be a dance hall down beneath the old city center, which was on 55th Street. In those days, the sound systems were nowhere near as sophisticated as they are now. They didn't have very good ones. And we were playing there. All these people jammed in the place. And the promoter would come up and say, can't you play louder? And I think they couldn't hear us play it because of the feet moving, you know, in the place. So that put an end to that as something that we could do. So that eliminated those. So the natural place we had to try and find a place to play was to take and play where people came only to listen, not to eat or drink, but just to listen. So that's eventually, I think, led to what the major part of the career has been.
John felt he much preferred a concert hall. Well, this was his thing. He was really trying to elevate it sort of into a classic realm, the surroundings, because of the environment. See, we were considered jazz musicians, and we come from an unsavory type element, that is, musically, you know, which is not the case at all, of course.
Because John Lewis, I suppose this started him developing his composing style and the kind of things for which, you know, the modern jazz quartet became associated with. Did you find this more demanding in the sense that you had to work inside a kind of overall composition rather than playing a succession of choruses on a chord sequence, if you know what I mean?
No, it didn't hang me up, first of all, because it gave me the opportunity to finally learn how to read music, which I hadn't actually done before. Reading music technically was a hang-up because I could hear it so well. It was faster than a musician reading. I didn't realize it would create a hang-up for me later on, and really going back and having to learn how to read music, you know. When John decided to do this, to me, I accepted it because of a challenge. I'm always one for a challenge. First of all, really learn how to read music, you know, and then see if I could really play in this kind of a surrounding, which, as you know, wind up working very successfully.
In a way, the MJQ had a lot of improvisation going on inside it, didn't it? A lot.
Right, but the way the group was well knit together, the people didn't know. In other words, it was designed that way, of course. They couldn't tell the part that was improvised and the part that wasn't, because the group eventually became so tight-knit. It got so we could breathe together. You know, one knew when the other was going to breathe. And after you rehearse 3 or 4 times a day, 4 or 5, sometimes 3 or 4 times a week, for the better part of 20-some years, you get like that. It just becomes a natural thing. I can guess what kind of shirt he's going to come walk in the room with. You know, it gets to be that kind of thing. Look, I was with the Modern Jazz Quartet for more years than I was married, than I've been married. So, you know, that's how that is.
That was Bluesology by the Modern Jazz Quartet. One of the things that I loved about the group was Percy Heath. Not only was he a driving bassist, but he was always willing to change and always willing to learn new things. And I think that was also part of the whole reason for the Modern Jazz Quartet. They were never boring. They were always exciting. And Percy Heath, early on, was told to take some lessons on his fingering to further improve the way that he fingered on the bass. And he eventually went to Charles Mingus, and Mingus told him, "What the heck do you need that for?" But Mingus referred him to someone else, and Percy took lessons and improved his technique, and of course it gelled beautifully with the sound of the Modern Jazz Quartet.
For the last piece in the first half of our program, we would like to play for you a piece based on the English Christmas carol, "God Bless You, Merry Gentlemen." Our version is entitled "England's Carol."
Thank you.
All the Things You Are by the Modern Jazz Quartet. That was taken from 1952. And before that, we heard England's Carol. Actually, I played this earlier on, but it was known as Milano. So I think there was a little bit of a mistake there in the listings on the album cover. I'm Randy McElligott, and you're listening to In Transition on CHUO-FM 89.1, coming to you from the Media Skywalk at the University of Ottawa. This afternoon, we're featuring the music of the Modern Jazz Quartet. And now we're going to listen to, this is a great number of theirs, from also from 1952, entitled Vendôme. And then after that, we're going to listen to Sonny Rollins, who played with them in 1953 on a Rollins original entitled No Mo.
This is Barbara Montgomery, and you are listening to In Transition on CHUO-FM with your host, Randy McElligott.
Thank you. Sunday at 12 noon, you're invited to the Jazz Band Ball on CHUO 89.1. Join Gordon Bennett for an hour of classic traditional jazz with all the greatest jazz innovators and performers. Louis Armstrong, Jelly Roll Morton, Sidney Bechet, and hundreds more bring jazz from New Orleans, Chicago, Europe, Australia. Blues with ragtime, Dixieland, spirituals are all on the menu at the Jazz Band Ball. Produced and hosted by Gordon Bennett, live every Sunday at 12 noon on CHUO FM 89.1.
Earlier on, we heard a composition entitled La Ronde. We're going to hear an extended version of this piece now, and it was recorded by Rudy Van Gelder at Van Gelder Studios in Hackensack, New Jersey in 1954. Now, this is quite a different version of what I played before. It features a lot more exercise administered by the various musicians, and a lot more liberty is taken as well. So I think you will really enjoy this. Again, it features Kenny Clark on drums, Percy Heath on bass, Milt Jackson on vibes, and John Lewis on piano. And at that time, they were known as the Modern Jazz Quartet.
Thank you. This is Anatoly Bulkin, and you are listening to In Transition on CHUO-FM with your host, Randy McElligott.
Music from the Modern Jazz Quartet with All of You, and just before that we heard Ralph's New Blues, and we started off with La Ronde Suite. I'm Randy McElligott, and you've been listening to a special edition of In Transition as we feature some of the music from this pivotal quartet, and we're going to go out with The Queen's Fancy. We just heard Delaney's Dilemma from the Modern Jazz Quartet. And if you want to pick up this amazing new box set, it's called The Complete Modern Jazz Quartet Prestige and Pablo Recordings. And I highly recommend it to anyone who enjoys the music that this group made over the last 48 or so years. I'm Randy McElligott, and I'll be back next week with some more jazz. Until then, have a great week. And don't forget, Ozzy's coming up next with music, news, and commentary until 4:30 this afternoon. Bye for now. Thank you.